Bibles, if you will. I'll tell you where we're going to open in just a second. Today it happened. It happens, I guess, all the meetings. When you're a preacher, it happens to all preachers. In all churches, somebody comes up and asks you to sign their Bible. And you know, most preachers, when they sign their Bible, they put their favorite scripture. And I don't. My favorite scripture is really like the whole Psalm, 116th Psalm. I like that. And it starts out, I love the Lord. I'm going to tell you guys, look, you may hear a lot of bad stuff about me, but I'm going to tell you something. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I may be messed up, but I love the Lord. And it goes through there about, you know, I thought all men were liars, called all men were liars, and how God heard me, and I trusted Christ. So I like Psalm 116. But when I sign a Bible, I don't sign Psalm 116. What I usually do is this. You know, I sign a lot of Bibles for young people. I don't know that they're saved. You say, well, they're in Christian school. Well, in Christian school, there's going to be people go to hell from Christian schools. And there'll be people go to hell from Baptist churches. And so I don't know that they're saved. So I sign Romans chapter 10, and I put two verses. I put Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And that's, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I figure if this kid reads this, maybe they'll read that and get saved. And then right after that, I put verse 14. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be? How shall they hear without be sent? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I figure if it's a boy, I make that 14 very bold. If it's a girl, I just make it a little bit large. But if it's a boy, because I'm sorry, ladies, but you don't preach. Okay? The Bible says that you're not supposed to preach. Don't be angry with me. I did not write the Bible. I did not put that in there. Had I written the Bible, I would have put that in there. Yeah. Wow, that was a good one there. God was on his game that day. Yes, sir. I mean, well, how does a woman preach? I mean, how does a woman preach? Get me with God or I'll scratch you. I mean, how does a woman preach? I don't know how that even works. Come forward, I'll hit you with my purse. I mean, I don't know what does a woman say when she preaches? But anyway, I'll get the lawyer calls tomorrow. But with a guy, I will put Romans 14 in bold, because if he is saved, maybe you get called to preach. And I've done that for years. And I only put Psalm 116 if somebody specifically asked me to put my scripture. And some years ago, I had a real blessing. This guy came to me. He was on deputation to go to Italy. And he said, many years ago, you signed my Bible and you put Romans 10, 13, and 14. You put 14 very bold. He said, I read that. And he said, I got called to preach, and it was Romans 10, 14. And he said, I am called to the Romans. And he said he got it from that. So those are the one scripture, the one I sign. And the other is the one that means a lot to me. But I'm going to, tonight, we're going to look at my favorite chapter in the Bible. In fact, I talked to you guys about reading 10 pages. And if you still haven't started, at least tonight, we're going to read an entire chapter of the Bible. And you're going to be so glad it's not Psalm 119. But maybe it is Psalm 119. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And if I have a passage of scripture that just lights my fire, I mean that I just love to read, it is the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. So it's 11 verses. And so we're going to read the whole thing. That way, for some of you can say, I read a chapter of the Bible today. It says this, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be heretofore. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto to an emerald. Hey, guys, I don't know if you ever thought about this, because guys like special effects. Men like special effects. Men like things that blow up and, you know, all that stuff. I'm sorry, ladies. Listen, if they had like little women go gun people down at the mall, I might want to see the movie. But, you know, all of that special effects, that got started from Revelation. And if you ever saw The Wizard of Oz, this is where they got it. The Emerald City and the throne and the smoke and the thunder and the voice coming out of the thunder. I mean, listen, every man goes to the Bible for authority, even the ones that don't believe in God. That's why there's a scripture over the United Nations. And that's why the homosexuals are going to the Bible to try to prove their case. Because when a man wants authority, he only goes one place, that book. Whether it's entertainment or politics. Verse 4, that wasn't my message, but that was just free. Around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's bow our heads and let's talk to the one sitting on the throne. Father, it is good that you are our God. And Father, you are every good thing that the Bible says about you and everything that we can pile on with good, positive adjectives, Father. Go right along with it. Lord God, I never cease to marvel. I never cease to be awed and amazed that I am just a piece of dirt. And you, the Creator, took a piece of dirt and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. And we didn't get life, God. We got a living soul. And that would have been enough. But it was not enough for you. Then you, the Creator, let your only begotten Son die so the piece of dirt could leave this earth and come to heaven and spend eternity with its Creator. God, that would have been enough. But it was not enough for you. Because in that whole transaction, when it was all over, now this piece of dirt addresses its Creator as Father. And I am impressed and I am thankful. God, these folks, there are people here, they might have had second thoughts about coming to church tonight because of the weather, because of whatever the circumstances were, and they came anyway. God, they made a conscious choice on a Tuesday night. There is something that these people are all usually doing on Tuesday night at this time. And so I pray, God, that you will bless them for their attendance. I pray, God, that you will get Sam Gipp out of your way and out of their way, that you will speak to the heart of each individual that is represented here, and that ultimately, God, we will live as this chapter says, for thy pleasure. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I like this chapter. Now you got to understand what's going on here. And I just read it. I just like the chapter. I just did. And you read along here. Now I tell people this, and you may have already begun to suspect this, but I am a little warped. Now, I'm probably not near as bad as some of you are afraid that I am, but I am a little warped. And when I say that, I mean this. I just mean that, I discovered that I was a little warped because what I noticed is that whenever something would take place, everybody would look at it this way, and I always end up looking at it from another angle. I just always kind of I'm always alone, and when everybody says, you know, this, I'm always looking at it just a different way. And so I would read this, you know, and I like this. I mean, I like this going on there in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I'll tell you what I like about this. These guys sound off. Now, I hope you can imagine. You do have an imagination, don't you? If you're playing fantasy football, you ought to be able to get this. But here you've got the throne. You've got the four beasts. Around it are 24 thrones. And on those seats are the 24 elders. And they have golden crowns on their heads. And I've always kind of seen these four beasts as kind of supporting the throne. I believe the throne is above them. They're kind of like you carry something, you know, one on each corner. But these guys let out the shout, holy, holy, holy. Won't you know that rockets across heaven? Oh, that is, listen, that is far more impressive than being paged at the airport. Okay? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I like that. And right after that takes place, look at verse 9. It says this, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, now, try to picture it, okay? The four beasts sound off, one here, you know, two here, two here. They sound off, and when they sound off, you got these 24 elders, they all come out of their seats, and they fall down around that throne, and they take their crowns, and they cast them at the feet. And they say this, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I will stop. It's an entirely different message. But I will stop long enough to let you know that I personally believe that Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, is the single most important verse in the Bible. I don't care what your theory is. I don't care what you may think. Have you ever done this? Have you ever just really wondered, why am I here? Mine should, no, lady, not why is my husband here? But have you ever just personally wondered, why did God put you on this earth? And if you would like to know why you were put here, all you've got to do is open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, we think that God exists to put a smile on our face. That is exactly the opposite of the truth. We exist to put a smile on his face. And I don't know how you count success, but like I said, if you can pillow your head at night knowing that I did something today that put a smile on the face of my Creator, I am a success. And I have justified my existence. In fact, think about this. If you haven't put a smile on the face of your Creator every single day, you don't even justify your existence. But I look at these 24 elders. Now, all right, picture this. It says this goes on day and night nonstop, correct? All right. So the four beasts sound off, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is to come. When they get done, then the 24 elders fall down at the feet of the throne. They cast their crowns at his feet, and they say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, when they get done with that, then the four guys sound off again. Holy, 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 right? Right? Okay. Well, when these four beasts sound off, where are the elders? Are they not seated around the throne on the 24 seats with the crowns on their heads, right? So, and then when these four guys get done, then they fall on their face, throw their crowns at the feet of the throne, at the feet of the Lord, and they worship him and they say their part. So obviously, when they get done, I always say it this way, they reload. I mean, they don't stay down, so they get back up and they sit in their seat again, correct? When we find them in their seat, do they have a crown on their head? Yes, they do. Which leads me to a puzzle. Where'd they get the crown? You say, well, they have a crown on their head. That's right. But then they cast it at the feet of the Lord, right? So they do not have a crown on their head, right? Then they sit back down, and when we see them again, they got a crown on their head. Now, I've always figured there's got to be one of two things that took place. The first thing I figured, and here's what I really have always thought happened, they put the crown back on and sit back down. I mean, after they're done, they just put the crown back on. Now, I know somebody just said, well, that's like taking it back. Oh, don't get sanctimonious. I mean, you never thought about it. Don't get an opinion now, pal. You're a little late. So you say, okay, then I'll go with you. They didn't put the crown back on their head. They left it there. Well, then I've got two problems. My two problems are, where did they get the new crown? So I figure then if that's the case, beside every throne, every seat that they sit in, must be a chair or a box that is full of crowns. Because they sit down and reach over and put a new one on. But think about this. Has this been going on for a while? There have got to be a lot of crowns piling up around that throne. Unless there is a crown drain. And so for that reason, I just always assumed that they fell down his feet, they cast their crown at his feet, they worshiped him, then they put their crown back on and sat down. And I always figured it was one of those two scenarios, and then I met a Polak. Now, if you're Polish, don't get upset. I'll talk slowly. But and this Polak come up to me after church one night, and he said, because he was talking about, you know, where'd the crown come from? Did they put it back on their head, or do they have a box of crowns? Now, look, guys. I don't want you to disagree with me. I don't want you to disagree with me without sitting down and thinking, not off the top of your head now, but thinking, how do they get a crown on their head? Was it the one they already had? What happened to the one there? If they left it there, it is a problem. If you think about it, if you don't, you just practice for the remote Olympics. It doesn't matter. But this Polak come up to me, he says, so you think they either left their crown there and got a new crown, or they put the crown back on their head? I said, yeah, that's all I can figure out. And I said, I just think they put the crown back on the head. He said, well, I have an idea. I said, what? He said, you ever go bowling? A crown return. Leave it to a Polak. I mean, anybody that bowls with braided armpits has to have an idea. I can just see it. They sit down bareheaded. They sit down. There it is. Put it back on. But off they go. I'm going to tell you why this is my favorite chapter. And this may upset you far more than you'll ever admit. But you read that chapter. It is not about us. Well, you know, man has such a chip on his shoulder. Man sees himself as being so important. You know, we live in a country where you're buying your kid T-shirts that say, you know, it's all about me, and let's focus on me. Hey, let's not. And I hate to say it, but I think Gentiles are even worse. Gentiles just got this idea that if God put it in the Bible, it was all for me. And we have this, it's all about me, and, you know, it's all revolving around me. You know, it's not revolving around you. It is revolving around a throne that is in heaven right now, and that this is going on even as I speak. And what I like about, the first thing I like about this, Now, guys, do we have John 3:16? Is that about us? Yeah. I talked to you about Romans chapter 10, verse 13, 14. That's about, or verse 13, that's us. Matthew chapter 11. I like Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take upon, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for... Jesus wept. And he wept because I couldn't remember the other two verses. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm working on John 11:35a, Jesus. And I'm trying to get the second B, cried. But anyway, I like Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and those other two, whatever they say. I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. There ain't no way I'm going to try to quote those. I like the idea that we're getting out of here. I really do. Hey, guys, I like the verses about the blood. I like the verses that tell me that salvation is free. I like that. I like to know that my sins are forgiven. I like to know that I have victory in Jesus. But, guys, can't God have a chapter? Can't there be one that you're not the center of? We get this idea. You know what this lost world thinks? I told you the other day, this lost world thinks that they don't have to give God the time of day. They don't owe God anything. They're not going to go to church. They're not going to get out of bed. They're not going to acknowledge God. But then as soon as they got a problem, they think God will just leap off that throne, come running down here with his checkbook and take care of business. And sometimes that's the way we are. I like the fact that God is the center of this. This is all about him. It's not about you. It says this, verse 8, the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. It's always going on. It is uninterrupted. It is continuous, isn't it? You know what that means, guys? That means that as you are seated right here, listen to me preach, this has already happened numerous times in heaven. Correct? You don't have to be fast about it. I mean, if you go slow, try this. Let's try that. Hang on a second. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Then a few seconds for the 24 elders fall on their face, cast their crowns, and they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. 25 seconds. I wasn't rushing it. But what I'm saying is this whole transaction could take place in 30 seconds, two times every minute. Man, I like that thought. I like the thought that all the time, you know, you're checking out Fox News and CNN and wondering what's going to happen to the economy. Twice a minute, God is getting the worship that he deserves. Amen. Twice every minute. I mean, creation is acknowledging that it exists for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to put a smile on the face of the Creator. This is uninterrupted. Amen. I was talking to three-star lieutenant general. I was talking to a lieutenant general in the Air Force. And he was speaking to troops. Now, guys, they have protocols. I mean, when a three-star general gets up before a bunch of officers and talks, you don't interrupt him. You know, I try to be nice. I know you have a probably hard time believing that. But I do. I try to be nice to people. If you ever want to see me un-nice that quick, interrupt this message. You know, you are not here for, you know, they get this thing and say, well, we're having interaction. You're not here to interact. If you want to interact, say amen and give. And if you don't want to say amen, that's fine. Okay? I had a guy try to interact one time. Mm-hmm. I went back to interact with him. I said something about the environment. There was some mouth breather back here. And he was sitting in the wrong place because he was in the last pew, too close to the door. And he interrupted my message. No, I don't think I'm so important. You know what I think? I don't think there's anything that's going to go on earth more important than preaching from a pulpit. I really do believe that. And you should not interrupt a preacher when he's preaching. Not with your added 2 cents or not with your disagreement. And this guy sounded off. Now, I'll tell you what when that happens, you know what I do? I look to the pastor. It's his church. I figure he's going to take care of it. I looked at the pastor, and he sat there like he wanted to be crocheting. Now, if the pastor isn't going to do anything about it, I'm second guy up. And the way I look at it is I'm giving him a chance to prevent the coming lawsuit. And the guy sounded off again, and the only thing I felt bad was that he was so far back, I wanted him to be about 4 or 5 pews in because I wanted to bounce him off a couple as I went and threw him out of the church. You say, you'd do that? In a heartbeat. Not because he interrupted my preaching, because he interrupted preaching. You know, it's so funny. We talk about loving God and loving the Bible and loving preaching. And how many things do we put above it? And your preacher will get up and you'll go, well, preacher, you know, that offended somebody. Well, sometimes some people need to be offended. They really do. And so I started back there. And about halfway back there, the pastor called back. Might have been his twin brother. I don't know. But anyway, he said, could you please be quiet? And this guy started trembling like a chihuahua that had just barked. And that was the end of it. But guys, don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt your pastor. Don't interrupt a preacher, even if you don't agree with what he says. So here's this general. He's speaking to a room filled with officers. It's February of 1991. And he said, he's over his military career, he's addressed a lot of officers. And he said, as he was speaking to these guys, he said, a junior officer came in a door back there. And he said, he came along the outside of the room. And he came up on the platform where this three-star was talking. Now, you don't do that unless, like, you have two more days left in the military. Or 21 years in Leavenworth. And he said this guy actually walked up to him while he was speaking. And this general looked over at him like, what are you doing? And he just handed him over a folded piece of paper. He said, that three-star general said, he took that piece of paper out of this kid's hand, thought this better be important, you know. And he opened that piece of paper up and he looked out at those officers and he said, you are dismissed. We are at war. That was the announcement that we had just crossed into Iraq to begin what we now know as Gulf War number one. What that general had to say was very, very, very important. Do you understand? But he got interrupted because there was actually something more important. You know, nothing interrupts this. All the time I'm talking to you, up there in heaven, you've got those four beasts, and they are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And somebody comes up to him and says, have you heard gas hit $4 a gallon? And they went, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they come up and said, look at this. 23 banks have folded in the United States. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Before you get too excited about that, write down your personal tragedy. Put in there about your house fire. Put in there about your sick grandchild. Put in there about what devastated your life, maybe so badly that to this day you've just never quite gotten over it. And you know what we think? We are so arrogant. We think that we're going to petition heaven. Go petition heaven and you'll get an audience. But I'm telling you something, guys. You know what they're going to do? They're going to write your personal tragedy on that little piece of paper. Somebody's going to walk up to those beasts. And that beast's going to take a look at that. And he's going to go, look at that. And then they're going to take that and throw it down and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Because this is uninterrupted. You know why? Because this is about God's glory. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about a bunch of walking, talking dirtballs who think that the whole universe is supposed to revolve around them. And every little toenail that you chip and every little problem you have. And every time there's an increase in gas price, you think that God ought to run down there and slap the gas man or something. People, this is about God. And it doesn't get stopped for you or for me. I like that. I like that. It is continuous. You know all the things that took place in the Bible creation? That's no small thing. I mean, spoke the universe into existence. You ever talk to an evolutionist? I mean, you have to talk slow, single syllable words. I know. They had me talking to a guy. He was a physicist, PhD. I get those guys for some reason. And if they won't ask you if you believe in creation, they'll say it this way. You believe in creation? Like if you dare answer, you are just being admitting to being the stupidest thing on two legs. And this guy said to me, and he's intelligent. And he says, you really believe that God spoke the universe into existence in 7 24-hour days? And I knew if I dared say yes, he'd think I was just the dumbest thing on 2 feet. So I said no. 6. Yeah, that's what I believe. I believe he spoke it into existence in 6 24-hour days. If he did anything on the seventh day, he just invented iced tea. That was it. He just grabbed him an iced tea and kicked back and looked at what he just did. Hey, guys, you ever work on something for 6 days? I mean, you want to just sit back and go, I'm done. Hey, in 6 days, he had the whole thing done. And while he was doing that, I mean, every time he'd say, let there be light, about that time in the background, you hear, holy, holy, holy. I mean, all through the creation, this never stopped. It never stopped. The flood. You know, one of the things I like about my God, there's a bunch of things I like about my God. But I've always said this about our God. He has a flair for the dramatic. I always take almost on his behalf, I almost take personal offense when people go, well, the Bible's boring. That's because you're not reading it. You think it's boring if you're not reading it. Man, you ought to read it. And he got mad at the whole world. You know what he said? I'm going to kill him. I'm just going to kill him. And that angel said, okay, guys, get out there and kill him. Son. How are you going to kill him, Lord? Wait. You ever seen rain? This is like water coming from heaven and falling on the earth. That's what I'm going to do. Water. I'm going to drown them all. Except for those 8 guys there. I'm going to drown them all. 40 days, 40 nights. 8 people got out alive. You go, that's Genesis chapter 7. You go to Genesis chapter 19. He looks down at Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboiim, Zoar. He says, I'm going to kill them. That angel says, okay, guys, open up the water valves. God says, whoa, what are you doing? Well, you said you want to kill him. Yeah, okay, we're going to drown. Well, I already did water. What are you going to do? Hang on. Something's coming. Have you ever seen fire and brimstone from heaven? This is kind of like fireworks in reverse. Right? Come on, guys, he did it. Man, he got mad at Israel one time in the wilderness. He said, I'm going to kill him. Angel said, water? fire and brimstone? What'd you have in mind? Snakes. Whoa, where you see these guys dance when these snakes bite them? And you know, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, when the Jews spent 40 years in the wilderness, they are wandering through the desert, wondering what they're going to do, when they're going to get into the promised land. And at least two times a minute up in heaven, you know what they're saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I think Israel, not was, I think Israel is God's chosen people. I am not here to steal their blessings. Man, I always tell people this, man. You know what my salvation is? My salvation is part of a divine plan B. He came here to be Israel's Messiah. That's what the Bible said. And I know what I'm about to tell you didn't take place, but let me alone because I really enjoy this. But I've often pictured the Lord as he stepped off the throne. You know what you ought to do, guys? Listen, can I help? I told you to read the Bible every day, but let me help you when you read your Bible. When you read your Bible, get out of your chair. Get out of your chair. Get out of your living room and get out of your house and get out of the period in which we live and step into what you read. You don't have to be a main character. You can be just an observer. My goodness, man, if you've raised on TV, you ought to be able to watch. And I'll tell you, you want a trip, you want to visit someplace. Here's what I'd like you to do sometime on your own. Not tonight, not now, because you already want to leave mentally, but visit heaven a half an hour before the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary is in labor down in the manger. And seated in heaven is the Word of God. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the Word steps up off that throne. And he puts his hand on the doorknob of heaven. He's about to step out of there, come down here, and enter the body. And I can just see this angel going, Lord, now, how's this going to go? And the Lord says, well, For several thousand years now, my father has told Israel that he's going to send me. I'm going to be the Messiah to Israel. They've been waiting for me. And they're going to take me. I'm going to go. You see that lady right down there in Bethlehem? She's about to have a baby. That's me. And then I'm going to present myself to Israel. They're going to accept me as their Messiah. And then you see over there in Jerusalem, I'm going to go right into the temple. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to rule the entire universe from right there. He puts his hand back on the doorknob of heaven. He's about to step out. The angel says, Lord, but what if they don't accept you? And he said, I'll think of something. Hey, guys, I am not glad Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, but I'm sure thankful. I am not glad that Israel rejected their Messiah, but I'm sure thankful. Amen. See, we got this idea, no, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's always been about Him. And here was Israel. And they go out to battle. They are God's chosen people today. And they'd go out to battle. And they would lose. And an army would march through the streets of Jerusalem. And that conquering army would take those Jewish babies by the feet and splatter their brains on the walls. And I won't even talk about what they did to the ladies. And when word came, those four beasts, take that note. They'd hear what was going on in the streets of Jerusalem and the blood running like the water of the rain. And they'd go, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You say, doesn't God care? God cares. But these four guys got a job. And their job is to praise Him day and night, nonstop, and it doesn't matter what goes on down here. And all the things that took place in the Bible, the 400 silent years, hey, they might have been 400 silent years down here. They weren't silent up there. And you look at the things that took place in the book of Acts and the people getting saved early and the persecution of the church and all that takes place and the death of the martyrs. But guys, when all that was going on, this never hiccuped. This never hesitated. Look at what took place in the world's history. Just our world. You know, they had an Inquisition. Probably somewhat of what we're going to have here in this country one of these days. And all you had to do is be turned in. Like I could call Health and Human Services on anybody in here tomorrow and say you're abusing your children. They'll come and take your children and they won't even tell you my name. Because regardless of the Constitution, we've got a president-elect that says the Constitution is his problem. It's in his way. And people, that Inquisition, brother, all somebody had to do was make an accusation and you got burned at the stake. You say it was unjust. Yeah, you know who they killed? They killed the Jews and they killed the Christians. You say it was tragic. It was tragic. It was horrible. They brought the note to heaven. But nobody said, whoa, look what's going on. Some years ago, I was preaching in Scotland and I went into Martyr Square. Martyr Square was they killed 1,800 Christians right there. Took their heads off. It didn't stop what these poor people did. See, here's what's wrong with us. As soon as we hear a tragedy, and especially if it affects us, we just can't imagine that God isn't wringing His hands and saying, I've got to go take care of that. But that is because, see, we've got this idea that God is there, like I said, to see to it that I have a pleasurable existence. But the exact opposite is true. He put you here. He put me here so that He would have a pleasurable existence. So the Inquisition and all the death in Europe and the wars in Europe, the discovery of this country, and it needed discovered. Okay. You know, there were people here. Well, they weren't doing much with it. Look, I'm sorry, but if you believe in the environmental Indian, you have been smoking your breakfast. Well, you know, they killed a deer and they apologized to it. Well, that made a big deal for the deer. I mean, what would you do if somebody walked at a funeral, walked up to the body and went, listen, I'm really sorry about this. He said, hey, he's dead. He can't hear you. Oh, I am sorry, Mr. Deer. I had to kill you. He's dead. He's still not gone home. Right? I'm telling you. Well, yeah, but they never killed more than they had to eat. If you believe that, you watch too much television. You know what a buffalo jump is? This is not a dance. We were out in, Idaho. Just came outside this town and saw this great big sign. It was a buffalo jump. Buffalo jump. It was a cliff. Maybe a little taller than the wall of your sanctuary. And what the Indians would do is they would stampede entire herds of buffalo over this cliff, and that would kill them, or at least maybe not kill them, only break their legs and back so that they lay there thrashing in pain, and they just go knock them in the head. You know, it's night, and apologize. But, you know, they never killed more than they needed. And so history does not tell you this, but stationed at the cliff, when they would do that, when they would run all those bison over the buffalo jump, there were three Indians. One of them was doing this. Because they don't want to kill more than they need. The other one is standing there going, sorry. Hurt, didn't it? Sorry. Bad day, sorry. You know, because you can't kill them without apologizing. But then there was a third Indian. His name was Charlie. He didn't do anything. He just sat there. And his part was when the first guy was counting, finally he got the quota and he said, okay, we got enough. Okay, Charlie, we got to go stop him. And that's why you never find an Indian named Charlie. You know, I went to public school. I told you, I went to public school. You know what they told me about Christopher Columbus? They told me he was only interested in gold. Now, you can get off believing that if he hadn't written a book. But Christopher Columbus wrote a book. The name of his book was written in his native language, Portuguese. And the name of his book was called The Book of the Prophecy. And in that book, he said that God had laid on his heart to take the gospel to a people who had never heard it. He was looking for something worth far more than gold. Maybe the king and queen of Spain wanted gold. He was not interested in gold. And then they told me this in my public school. They said he came here four times. He did. But they said he came here four times, never knew where he'd been. I've been to parties like that. Before I got saved. Now, and you know, I told you I'm a little bit warped. And you know what I've always done? I've always carried on a conversation with Christopher Columbus between voyage 3 and 4. I see him on the streets of Madrid and I say, Chris, how you doing? Good. Where you been? Yeah, but I'm going back. Where? Want to come with me? No. I'm getting a boat. The guy doesn't know where he's been. Don't want to know where he's gone. When the discovery of this country took place, this was still going on. We had a revolution, a war for independence in this country. And when that took place in 1776, this was still going on. Brother, when they sent the note to those four beasts and it said, the British just fired on them at Concord. They said, we don't care about that. We got something important to do. Holy, holy, holy. World War I. You know, let me get this right, in Vietnam, it took 11 years for 54,000 men to die. That's a terrible thing. It took 11 years. In the Battle of Gettysburg, in 3 days, they killed 53,000 in 3 days. But in the Battle of the Somme River in World War I, one day, 57,000 men died. You take your whole town, drop it in there. Well, you talk about a bloodbath. And word came to heaven, 57,000 died today. They threw it down there. Don't you understand, people? It doesn't matter. You know what matters? Him getting the glory. God being praised by the creation. And all the things that took place down here. Landing on the moon. Yes, I believe man landed on the moon. I don't care about the light reflection in their visor and all of your theories. I still think they did. Listen, even Bill Clinton's scandal and the one that's probably coming, word got up there. They just threw it over their shoulder. And they went back to praising God. Amen. And I hate to say this, guys, but not only has this all been going on during the things that went on in the Bible and in the world, but your personal crisis, your health problem. When the doctor came and said, we've looked at your x-rays, I've got bad news. When they gave you bad news about your job, and if you haven't gotten it, you will. When I don't know how you feel about the direction of this country, but it's going to touch us all personally. And I said this the other day, and I hope this doesn't happen, but if your house is burning right now, and you go home from this church and find nothing left but the ashes, someone may put that word right there on that little piece of paper. And someone will dutifully carry it up to one of those four beasts. And they'll look at it and read it. They're not going to go, "Oh, hold it, hold it. So-and-so's house burnt." You know what they'll do? They'll say, "Holy, holy, holy." Well, can you hear that resound out across heaven? "Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Guys, that's been going on over and over and over and over, nonstop, continuous. Your personal health problem, your marriage problem, your job problem, your housing problem, your family problem, your health problem. It doesn't matter. I know you just can't fathom that God isn't up there wringing his hands about your job situation. That he isn't just, "Well, don't you know what happened to my grandchild? Yeah, he knows." But these four guys aren't stopping for you or for me or for anything on this earth, and they can nuke Washington, D.C. tonight. And I'm telling you, 5 seconds after they hear word up there, they will sound off just like they have always sounded off. So I like this because it's not about us, it's about him. I like it because it's continuous. You know why I like it? Because I'm going to get to see it. Now, I look forward to that. I told you, I think a little different, you know. I've often pictured this. Let me tell you about this guy I had in my church. I pastored this church, and I had a guy in my church. He's a good guy. He loved the Lord. And I'd start preaching, and here's what I would see. I'd be preaching, and he'd be sitting out there, and I'd see him do this. He'd go. Now, nothing wrong with that. No problem. But I'd make a mental note. I'd keep on preaching, and directly I'd see this. He'd do this. Now we have a problem. Because when he did it the second time, I'll tell you what I would do. I would look at who was sitting in front of him, because we're about to lose them. They're either leaving the church or going to die on the spot. Because here's how this thing would go. I'd be preaching long, and he'd go like this. He'd go. Then a little while later, he'd go. And then the third time, brother, he'd come off like a redstone rocket. He'd go, he would shoot straight up in the air. And he'd go, "Woo!" And the two people in front just die right on the spot. And I've often envisioned these four beasts, you know, and they're standing there. And when I'm going, "Hey, man, have you seen number two? Number two over here, he has always been first one down. Of these 24 elders, he's always first one down. This one back here going, what? I mean, he's been pretty quick, but number 12 over here has been pretty quick. He's beat him a couple of times." What are you guys saying? "Oh, no, guys. You got all those eyes and you haven't seen number 17? 17 is the guy." This guy says, "No, guys. Come on, man. Number 20 is the man. He's been ahead of everybody." And they said, "Well, there's one way to find out." "Holy, holy, holy." And around that throne, 24 elders sitting on those seats go, "Lord God Almighty," 24 of all ones go, "which was and is to come." And buddy, woo! 24 elders come down there. Down they go. Down go their crowns. They worship the Lord. And number 24 beats them every time. But guys, I'm going to see this take place. Now, I'm going to tell you how your doctrine has changed. You wouldn't admit it, but your doctrine has changed. I'll tell you how your doctrine has changed. This is not a doctrine like, do you believe in the blood atonement? Do you believe in the virgin birth? And you put a yes or no. This is not a doctrine that we compare notes on, but it's still something we all believe. You used to believe that up in heaven somewhere is a divine library that had a bunch of films that had a film of everybody's life. And some years ago, your doctrine changed. You quit thinking there were films up in heaven, thought there were VCRs. And here recently, your doctrine has changed again, has it not? Now you think it's a bunch of DVDs. And you know what some of you are doing? Some of you are, they said this lady they called Mother Teresa. When she was getting old, you know, and they already told her she was going to heaven. Somebody had to tell her because God never did. But anyway, and she said this. She said, well, when I get up there, God's got some questions to answer. You ever watch yourself, you little dirtball? I don't think a little piece of dirt's going to walk up to the Creator and go, why'd you let this happen? And you know what some of you have probably done? You probably got your little list. When I get up there, I'm going to find out, why did I have to have that accident? And what would happen if she would have said yes? And why did my mother-in-law move in? I mean, speaking of tragedies. Now, you know, some of you, you got this little thing. Maybe you got a big list. But you got this idea that you're going to go up to heaven and you're going to ask God, pull the DVD file and see how come all these things happen in your life. You know what I think is going to happen? I think you have your little list here. Now imagine walking through the gates. You step in there, I mean all of heaven, and they're all looking one direction. Guess what? Not yours. And you're going to go, well, I want to get these questions answered. I've wondered about why this had to happen. I mean, it just wasn't fair. I mean, I tithed most of the time. And you're going to have your questions for God. And you're going to hear this. Holy, holy, holy. And that courses out across that crowd. You're going to go, Lord God Almighty. And you're going to go, which was and is to come. About that time, you're going to go, because what happened to you doesn't matter, guys. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Your tragedy broke the heart of another human. You understand that? Your tragedy broke the heart of another human. Somebody cried with you. Somebody helped you. Somebody was there for you, and I am glad. You say, well, nobody's there for me. Well, I am sorry then. I am sorry. Don't you think for a second what happens to you or to me is going to stop what goes on up there. And I look forward to the day when I can just not only watch this, but I get to join in. Yeah, I want rewards. I want rewards. He made a system for rewards, so I want what he wants. But it'd be nice to throw him down at his feet and say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I really, really like that song you sang. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. When I was in Bible college back in 1971, we had an evangelist come in. And we would sing that song before every service. By the end of the week, man, we had it memorized. All four verses, I like that song. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Isn't that a good song? I like nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus. I like victory in Jesus. I like that. I like it is well with my soul. I like amazing grace, man. I can go like that. I like just as I am without one plea. But you know what, guys? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes, if you look at the songs we get excited about, who's the center of them? It's me. I like to sing about what I got. Isn't that right? You know, every now and then, I like to see him be the center of the song. I like the hymnal. I have no complaint on a hymnal. I'm not for the bouncing ball and all this 7-Eleven songs, you know, and all this slop that they do. And I like to sing about my victory, and I like to sing that I've been washed in the blood. I like that. I appreciate my salvation. But sometimes, I don't know if there's five songs in the average hymnal that don't have you and me in the center. But here's one. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy. There is none beside Thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. You know that's not about you. There is nothing in that hymn about you or about me, other than you being the mouth of sinful man. But this isn't about what we got, guys. It isn't about me being bought. It isn't about me being saved. It isn't about me being whiter than snow. It is about the Creator getting the worship from the creature that it was intended to get, that He was intended to get. Guys, I love this book. I read this book. And sometimes it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to read it through and read it through and read it through and one day read a verse for the first time. And I'll read it and I'll go, boy, God, this is some book. I'll tell them, I suppose this is some book. I don't think the Bible is a good book. I really don't. I do not believe the Bible is a good book. I believe it is the good book. I don't believe that it is a good book on a list of good books. I think it is the book on the list. 1 through 100, make it number 1 and leave 2 through 100 blank. It is the good book. And I'll read that book and I just get really blessed. But I'll tell you, nothing touches me like that passage right there. That fourth chapter of Revelation, because it is all about Him, not about us. Because it's going on all the time, continuously. Even when I would like it to stop and pay attention to me. And because I'm going to get to see it. Man, if somehow on a snowy Tuesday night you get up at a church like this and not be saved, get saved. You know why you should get saved? You say, so don't go to hell. Oh, that's right. It's all about you. I forgot. No. You ought to get saved. You ever stop and think? No, you probably never did. You ought to get saved because when you get saved for the first time in your existence, you're in a position to be a pleasure to your Creator. Now, some of you know what you were like before you got saved, don't you? You couldn't even begin to pretend that what your life was a pleasure to the God that made you. And I can't say that everything you've done since you got saved has been a pleasure, but I guarantee you, you've come a long way, haven't you? I mean, for some of you, your hair's changed, your music's changed, your clothes have changed. Boy, the last thing we'd all want to do is come in here and show up looking like we did before we got saved. It'd be a scary place, wouldn't it? You know what you do? You hear a preacher preach about how you should dress or what you should read and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And you go, oh, a bunch of legalists. But some of you, all you'd have to do is go home to some of your CDs and say, you know, I don't think that puts a smile on His face. And when you toss it out, before you pillage your head tonight, you might put a smile on His face. You can excuse stealing from God all you want. But you know, if you just ante it up and was honest, up in heaven, your Creator go, man, that's nice. You know what I think about that song, Holy, Holy, Holy? You know what I like? You know what I like about singing? We sing to His glory. We use our voices to glorify the Creator. Isn't that true? You know why I like that? Because since you've been saved, you know how many times what's come out of this throat and out of your mouth hasn't been a glory to Him. You know what it was like before you got saved. You know what I like to think? I like to think we come in here before the preaching and we're all singing. Man, I mean, you know what it is? It's a bunch of walking, talking, saved dirt balls directing glory and worship to the Creator. And I can just see God up in heaven going, hey, Mike, Gabe, listen to him. Look at that guy right there. You hear what he's saying? You hear what he's saying about me in this song? Well, you should have heard what he said about me before he got saved. Isn't that nice? Guys, you and I were put here for one purpose, put a smile on his face. You better ask yourself if your life puts a smile on his face. He is not up there worrying about putting a smile on yours. I know that's hard for you to imagine that it's not all about you. But if you got that t-shirt, burn it when you get home. It's all about him. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if by chance somebody here has not trusted Christ as your personal Savior, when the invitation is given, don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on being part of this. But if you have been saved, I'm not going to give you a list. I'm not going to tell you what you can and cannot do. But you've got a God that is. He won't give you a piece of paper with a yes or no check box on it. He'll just stop when you walk through a door, you change a station on a radio or on the television, when you surf the internet. He'll just stop you and go, that's not for me. Now what are you going to do? What you don't know is that all you got to do is turn off the TV sometime, and up in heaven, God smiles. You know what you need to ask yourself tonight? Is your life really a pleasure to the God that made you? Has that really been the goal of your life, to be a pleasure to the God that breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, made you a living soul, and then let His only Son shed His blood so that us dirtballs can go to heaven? Come on, haven't you got enough attention? Isn't that enough? Doesn't that satisfy your need for attention? I think it's time we gave some to Him. Father, as I already said, God, I am awed that I, a piece of dirt, can address my Creator as Father. And I don't know about these folks, God, but for years I prayed, our Father. I said that to you, and you were not my Father. But when I got saved, since then, you're my Father. Lord God, it is so easy down here for us to get caught up with ourselves, to think that the whole universe should revolve around us, that everybody ought to stop when we have a problem. You know what I'd be interested in, God? From the start of this service to the end, I'd like to know how many times they addressed you, holy, holy, holy. Now that'd be a statistic. God, I pray that we will all live to your glory. That we would, instead of thinking about what will make us happy and what about me and what's in it for me, we would say what's in it for God and what would make him happy and what could I do to put a smile on his face. Now, God, these folks came out to church tonight, and I do pray you bless them for it. But I pray that you get blessed for their being here. That something in a life here will be forever altered to your glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have the invitation. I need you to play. Can't get much away simpler than that. It's your life.